Talk Radio.
Feeling a spirit of apathy.
seems like all around me, from you know, from people at the job to family. It's kind of crazy, this feeling of apathy, lack of interest. And I said, you know, I wonder how widespread this is in the body. You know, apathy towards, you know, not just the Most High, but just toward life. Don't really care, just going through the day to day, doing something, but not really caring about what we're doing. So let us go ahead and do our statement of faith, and then we will pray in, and then we will, I sort of just want to talk about this spirit and what the Bible says concerning the spirit of apathy that seems to be, I don't know, seems to be rampant. But maybe it's just me. Maybe I need some lifting up. Who knows? Yah Elohim knows. He is my very necessary. So our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And before we move forward, let me have you ladies to cover your heads, men, uncover your heads. Turn toward the east, the direction the sun comes up. I believe all holiness must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I have one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments. That is our whole duty. If we just keep that before us, we can't go wrong. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise today. Thank you for your consistency. Thank you for always being there for us, Father. Thank you for your love and your kindness. Thank you for your tender mercy. Thank you for your rebuke. Hallelujah. For without your rebuke, we know that we are not your children. Thank you for your chastising. Father, we just love you today. We want to ever keep you before us and give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together to break bread, Father, and to read from your word. Feed us, Father, when we are hungry for you. We are thirsty for you, Father, and we just seek after you with everything that we have. Come and be with us. Sup with us this evening. Let it be your words that are heard and not Brother Miles. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 8. If they, Israel, and your book won't say Israel, but I'm just telling you who they are. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land, whether they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with their, all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and unto the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carry them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron. That thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. And Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Let us start this off. We're talking about the spirit of apathy. By definition, the word apathy means lack of interest, lack of enthusiasm, or lack of concern. We can be apathetic about a lot of things, but the word of Yah is one thing we do not want to be apathetic about, not have to have a lack of interest in it, in him. Because then we're saying we have a lack of interest in our eternity. If we are so caught up in the world that the Most High comes second, if job comes first, children come first, husband or wife. That's why he says none of those things can come before him. Because they will, you know, life happens. And I'm not saying don't handle your business, because you're supposed to handle your business too. But it comes from a matter of perspective, what is most important to you. When I look around and, you know, I talk to people at work, and then I talk to people, you know, just in general, it seems that there's really a lack of interest for a lot of them, even in life. And so this spirit, you know, I'm wondering, and I need to do a little bit more research on this, background information, a larger sample of people, because I'm looking at this as a symptom of our post-traumatic slave disorder. Okay. And something that we may need to address. Don't know yet, but I know I'm seeing this, and the Most High is, you know, sort of having me to deal with it. Let me play a song. Give me one.
I do it for you. I give you the praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love. It is a story. You're Your words jump at me like a picture. The perfect you are in the scriptures. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that. Check all my members, cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that.
Somebody let me know if you're hearing an echo. I'm in my office and it's kind of empty. Sounds like an echo to me. The book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. And Shalom, Sister Mary.
Shalom, Brother Miles. It is a little echo.
Okay, yeah, I don't think there's going to be anything I can do about that tonight, because this room, only thing I have in is my desk and my computer.
Okay.
So it might, so, but thank you for confirming that. I thought it was just me.
Okay.
All right, amen, thank you.
Amen.
All right, Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. And we're talking about apathy, having a lack of interest. You know, and I really want to address this from in the natural world, also in our spiritual life. Because, you know, when we get beaten down, when it seems like, you know, nothing is going our way, or, you know, we just seem like we're just here, then we could get into this spirit right here, this spirit of apathy. But we just don't have an interest in anything. Go to work, come home. You know, very routine and mundane. And we, you know, definitely do not want to let it affect our spiritual life, because it's one of the things that, as far as the Most High is concerned, he doesn't like when we have apathy toward him, a lack of interest. So Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have gotten riches. But verses 15 and 16. Let's go back to verse 15. I said, I'm reading 16 and 17, but verses 15 and 16. I know your works, and that they are neither hot, they are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now, what the Most High is really saying here to the people, they have become apathetic. They are at church or at camp meeting or doing something in regards to him, but they really don't have no life behind it. They are neither hot or cold. Because I wish you were one or the other. I know what to do with you. Now, I know what I'm going to do with all those who are cold. And I've heard this lesson taught, this scripture, this not this lesson, but this scripture right here taught a different way. And I had to really go back and, you know, read it and read the context. And the Most High doesn't want you if you're cold. But, you know, somebody was saying that, hey, you're cold, you're frozen in the Word. Okay, that could be a rendition of this. It could be maybe a precept, but in the context of the verses, the Most High is saying, hey, I wish that you were hot or cold, so I knew what to do with you. If you're on fire for me, I know what to do with you. If you are cold against me, I know what to do with you. But when you are lukewarm, then you have neither chosen that you are committed, and you're on the fence, or you're on the fence. And either way it goes, being lukewarm, you are considered to be cold. And he spews, he says, I will spew you out of my nostrils. I will throw you away like snot. I will disregard you. Because you have disregarded me, you haven't, you know, you didn't make a choice. You tried to sit on the fence and have your feet in both worlds. So you'll do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And then when it really comes down to the word of the Most High, then we aren't really excited. We don't want to go to hell. We don't want to go to the lake of fire. But we really don't want to get on fire for the Most High. We don't want to get on board with him. And so that is a problem. Now, this can, as I said, this can translate even out of your natural life. When we become routine, when things become to us routine and mundane, you know, it's just humdrum. Maybe we feel like there's no excitement in our life because we got one foot nailed to the floor. I want you to put this picture in your mind. One foot nailed to the floor, and you're trying to go somewhere. And the only thing you feel like you're doing is going around in circles. Trying to step forward, but every time you step forward, you know, that one other foot don't come. So you end up going around in a circle and digging yourself into a rut. We need to start doing things that put us on fire for the Most High. And all of them may not have positive outcomes, but the fact of the matter is, they may not have positive outcomes, but you're still doing the work. And we don't want to be lackadaisical. We don't want to be apathetic, have a lack of interest. You know, just, you know, let me just do my duty or what I feel like is my duty, and this is enough. Most I want us to be on fire for him. And in being on fire for him, it will translate into other things in our lives. You know, the worst thing that a person or a people can have is a lack of vision. And the Most High even states that in his word. My people are killed for lack of knowledge and lack of vision. What are we doing in regards to his kingdom? Is our life centered around that? Do we understand that the things that we do, in whatever way that we can, the things that we do in relationship to the kingdom, that they serve a purpose and that they are contributing to a bigger picture? You know, are we just listening to lessons and not really excited about doing anything for the kingdom? Maybe that's what this is all about. But the truth of the matter is, as I'm looking around and contemplating these things and saying, okay, Most High, what is my next move? What did I do next? And I know I have to buy this land, like, soon. So I'm, going to start looking very soon, coming up in this next month, to be doing something toward the kingdom. But I want to, I want to look at us as a group of people as well and say, what is it that we can do together to affect people's lives in a positive way? But as I said, we're going to always tell the truth, always tell the truth. We're going to always give them the truth of the gospel. This is not an easy walk, and people want easy. So we don't want to be lukewarm for the Most High. We want to be on fire for him. We want to be ready to do the work and contribute however it is that we are able to contribute to it. But be involved. Know what the vision is and pursue it. Let us go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. And we're going to get verses 1 through 10. Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. Let me get my glasses. Now, when we read this, I want you to understand that when you first read this, or when I first read it, and reread it again, you can come to a conclusion that he's applauding someone, but then when you really read it, it's not really an applause. It's really talking about being concerned with everything but the kingdom. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, starting in verse 1. For all this I lay to my heart, even to explore all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of Elohim. That, this is true. The Most High is in charge of everything. Whether it is love or hatred, man doesn't know it. All is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked. I wonder if anybody can guess what that one event is that is to the righteous and to the wicked. To the good and to the clean, to the unclean, to him who sacrifices and to him who doesn't sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sin. He who takes an oath as he who fears an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that there is one event to all. Yet also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him who is joined with all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. You know, what he's telling us is, hey, when you go to sleep, you know, people talking about you going to heaven, you're going to be up there doing whatever. He's telling you that the dead know nothing. And while you are alive, it's better to be alive than to be dead. For to him who is joined with all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead don't know anything. So that one event, that everything from the rich man to the poor man, the wicked man to the righteous man, you know, whatever you, wherever you find yourself at in this life, we all have to look forward to what? Death. That's that one event. And no matter how righteous you are, unless Messiah comes back, you're going to still see what? Death. All of us. So David is looking at this and writing concerning these things, what he sees. For the living know nothing. The living know that they will die, but the dead the dead don't know anything. Neither do they have any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Now, let us consider these things. We do a lot of things in this life to impress people, to, you know, make ourselves happy. We want to, you know, some people do things because they want to leave a legacy. And really, a lot of people just want to be remembered after they leave. So they do things so that people won't forget them. And that's what their life is all about. They don't want to be forgotten. But the truth of the matter is, once you are dead a certain amount of time, people do forget about you. Life goes on. And then what you have to do is, we're going to read a little bit further, but I'm going to tell you what we really have to consider, what's important, because maybe we haven't looked at it this way. Let's continue to read. Verse 6. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy has perished long ago. Whatever feelings you were feeling while you were alive, once you were dead, really nobody remembers those because they're really personal to you. I think of some people who are close to you that say, yeah, I can remember when. And this person was like that. And they hated this. But then after they're gone, who remembers that stuff? So this is what the, you know, is being talked about here. Also their love and their hatred and their envy has perished long ago. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Go your way. Eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with merry heart, for Elohim has already accepted your work. Now, if we stop right here, we might be hearing him say, do what you want to do and be happy, because this is all there is and there ain't no more. The dead don't know anything. And the living, once you are not living, you are forgotten. But there is a theme here, and we want to make sure that we pick up on this. Let's continue. So go your way. Eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with merry heart, for Elohim has already accepted your works. Let your garments be always white, and don't let your head lack oil. Now, that phrase stuck in there. That verse stuck in there. Let your garments always be white. That means to be without sin. To don't be, you know, intentionally going around. Let your garments always be white and your head anointed with oil. Why? Only a righteous person is going to think about that. Only somebody who's living for the Most High would be thinking about that. And so that's the thing that's the difference between us and the world. Let's read the next verse. Live joyfully with the wife whom you loved all the days of your life, of vanity, which he has given you under the sun. all your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life, and in your labor in which you labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in Sheol, where you are going. Now, that's a rough verse right there. If we were to just leave that out and not really talk about it, if your concern is for this world and the pleasure you can have with your wife and that relationship and what you guys can accomplish, and it's not about keeping your garment clean, he's telling you then, do everything with all your might. Enjoy yourself. Because you're not going to get to do none of that in hell where you're going. But if we are righteous and we keep striving to keep our garment clean, white, then that's not our focus, because you can't have that focus, have the focus of the world and try to stay righteous as well. Those two don't go together. So he tells us, if our focus is not on the Most High, our end is going to be the lake, Sheol. And so if we're going to do anything with interest, with fervor, with all our might, it ought to be to work toward the kingdom. Because if we put all our energy in the pleasures of this world or trying to get wealth, we're going to end up in the lake. Apathetic about kingdom business and too focused on worldly things. When I read that verse, I was like, good grief. Do all that you can with all your might. When you make your choice, whether you're going to pursue the kingdom of Elohim or you're going to pursue this world, do either with all your might. Why? Because your reward is already, that's why he says in that verse before, Elohim has already recognized your works. Go back to verse 7. Go your way, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with merry heart, for Elohim has already accepted your works when you make a choice, whether your works are going to be good or whether they're going to be evil, whether they're going to be to satisfy you or whether they're going to be to satisfy the Most High. When we go to the grave, it's already a done deal. Can't undo it then. And so we can't say, well, let me wait. And then when I turn this age, I'll start doing right. Or when I accomplish this, I'll start doing right. Or I'll start, my focus will be on the kingdom of the Most High. Number one, you may not make it to that point. Number two, Elohim might say, no, your heart is not right before me. You didn't choose me first. Didn't choose him first. And so this is, you know, he says, it's all in Elohim's hands. And it is. It is all in his hands. And he says that he's a righteous God. He's a righteous Elohim. He judges righteously. He'll know whether we chose him first or whether this is a default plan or this is our sunset plan. After we've done all our dirt in the world, after we've gone after everything we want to go after, then we now want to turn our focus to him. Elohim, I accomplished all that I wanted to do. Now it's time to serve you. He might accept that. He might not. You might say, no, you were apathetic concerning the kingdom. And now while you're old and weak and can't really put any strength into whatever it is that I need for you to do, now you want to come to me. So we don't want to be apathetic toward his kingdom, and we don't want to make this world and this life and, you know, the acquisition of wealth or power or whatever it is that men strive to obtain, other than the kingdom of the Most High. He says, once you choose, they'll do it with everything that's in you. And if they choose not the kingdom of the Most High, they'll do that with everything that's in you, because this is the only time you're going to get to do it. Once you go to the grave, you ain't going to get to do it. And once you go to judgment, you're not going to get to do it. Because if you choose the world, then you're going to end up in the lake of fire. And so we don't want to be apathetic, show a lack of interest in the kingdom of the Most High. We should be excited about it. It should be, you know, understand that we have a vision and these are the works that we're doing to achieve and to bring about that vision. And that vision should come from him. No, I'm going to say it should. It has to come from him. We don't want to be working doing the opposite of what the Most High wants us to do, doing what's right in our own minds. So, you know, it has to come from him, and we have to be about our Father's business. Right now, his business is bringing souls into the kingdom, whosoever will. We are supposed to be those willing vessels, happy to do it, because we understand what our reward is already. We know. Think about this. No matter what age you are right now, I want you to think back to when you were 9 or 10. How long ago was that thing? It could have been just yesterday. Because all the years in between, in order to remember them and bring them up, you have to go, you have to actually remember. And who can remember every day of every year? At one time, I probably could do that. Not anymore. Can't do it. The days and the weeks and the months and the years just start to blend together. It seems like the older you get, the more wrapped up you get in life, the more wrapped up you get into your vision or trying to accomplish whatever. Just seems like you wake up, you go to work, you come home, you go to sleep. Wake up, rinse, and repeat. And if your days are long and if you're super busy, then, you know, hours can fly by really quick. If you are, you know, when I have my own company, I can wake up 3-4 o'clock in the morning, get up, and before I know it, it's 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, take a break, hit it again, and then it's 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning again. And the time just seems to fly. And I know I'm not the only one like that, because, you know, for the most part, we're all working, and if we're not, when we used to work, we worked hard. And days, you know, life just seems to happen and time goes by. And before you know it, the day went by, the week went by, the month went by, the year went by. The question is, in all of this, what are you doing for the kingdom of Elohim? Who are you talking to about? What plan are you following to help people to get into the kingdom? Because, see, once we ourselves are joined to the Most High, we're supposed to help others. And the main portion is to help them into the kingdom. They may need other help. They may have some things that are distracting them. We don't all have the same issues. We don't all have the same problems. We are not all blessed the same way. So we have to look at our lives, and we have to say what's important to us. You know, what is important to us? Is it the kingdom of Elohim? Or is it this life? We can use one for the other. So I guess the first thing we have to decide is, do we really believe? Do we really believe? And if we really do believe, are we willing to? What I understand is this. Let me say it this way. What you truly believe or know, that is what you're willing to act on. If I say, your house is on fire right now, if you believe me, you would get up and go look to see and check. But if you think that they're empty words, you're going to sit right in your seat and be like, yeah, you just talking. But if you believe, if somebody ran by the door and said, the house is on fire, then you might take it a little bit different. You might believe what they're saying, and you're going to take an action. You're going to get up. You're going to go look. You're going to try to make sure that, hey, is it my house? You get what I'm saying? So we pretty much act on what we truly believe. If we truly believe that we are servants of the Most High, male or female, then we have to act upon those beliefs. We have to do what the Most High is saying to do. We can't have apathy toward the job that he has given us. You know, whether you accept the job or not, it doesn't really matter. Why? Because it's your job. So you're going to get rated on what you did or didn't do. On fire for the job. Check. Apathetic about the job. Check. The Most High knows. So we as people, we have to get on fire for the Most High Elohim. We have to get on fire for our brothers and our sisters. We are in bad shape, yes, but that still shouldn't squash our zeal and our excitement about helping us into the kingdom. For the simple reason, you know, we know all of us are not going to make it. The scriptures tell us that. All of us are not going to make it. But we still have to be on fire for those that, if they're not going to make it, we have to still do the work to try to get them in. Because the Most High's will is that none should be lost. So we pray for them. We intercede for them. If they continue to choose to do wickedness, and they choose that, then we turn them over to that. And guess what? Still be happy for them. Why? Because the Most High said, don't put a stumbling block in front of anybody, no matter what choice they make. If you make a choice to come into the kingdom, I should not put a stumbling block in front of you to trip you up from not making it. And if your brother or sister chooses the world, don't put a stumbling block in front of them, because that's what they chose. And they're still going to say they love the Most High. And when I saw this in the scriptures, I was kind of freaked out. It's like, wow, Messiah says, when we look at what Messiah says during his lifetime, he says, Elohim is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. That's why he says the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are alive in him. And when he's going to resurrect them, all it has to do is the time has to come. It's like when you go to sleep, you don't really know what time you fell asleep. And unless you're looking at the clock, you don't really know the very second that you woke up. That's the way death is. When you go to sleep, you don't know if you'll sleep for one day or 10,000 years. It's the same because you're not thinking. You're not dreaming. You are, the scriptures say, that you know nothing until he wakes you back up again. And so for you, it's going to be like right before you went to sleep. That's going to be your thought. But wait a minute. How much time has gone by? Oh, man, for you it's been 2,000 years. 2,000 years felt like I just went to sleep yesterday. A couple of hours ago. So we have to look at this thing in the light of helping our brothers and sisters in whatever choice they make. Because when Messiah went to the grave and came out, if we go to the book of Romans chapter 14, I believe, he takes on a new title. And that new title is the God of the living and the dead. And he says, I don't want any contention in my body. If they say they are for me, then let them say they are for me and be with me. I will judge them. But even if they have chosen death, I'm the God of the living and the dead. A new title. And it says, those that are for me are not against me. So if they say they're for Messiah, but they're living ungodly lives, he said, and they want to say that they're for him, he says, let them say that. I will judge them, just like I'm going to judge you. Don't put a stumbling block in their way. And if they're doing, you know, just wicked, wicked stuff, and they're trying to spread it through the congregation, then there are ways we are told to handle this stuff, put them out. But he says, as long as they say they're for him, and they're not trying to get people to sin, you know, they're fornicating and stuff like that, trying to get the sisters to do whatever, even the sisters trying to get them to do whatever. If they are on fire for him, let them be on fire for him. It is he that's going to judge them, not us. Only time we get in to judge is if it becomes a problem and they are spreading sin through the congregation, and we have to handle that. It has to be dealt with. But we ourselves cannot be apathetic and sitting on our hands and getting caught up in this world and saying that he is our king and he is our ruler and we love him, but we're not doing anything. What does that say? So I definitely want to look at some things that as a body that we can do, whether it's online, whether it's in the real world out there, when I say online or in the real world, I'm talking about face-to-face with people, that we need to be on one accord and understand that this is the mission and this is what we're doing as a body. And not be apathetic so that we can be excited about the work of the Most High, be excited about the kingdom, be excited about new people coming in. The church is not a building. It is us. And we don't want to be lukewarm for the Most High. We don't want him blowing us out his nose like, yeah, you were part of me, but you like a cold to me. Let me blow you out of my nose like who regards snot when they blow it out their nose? You don't think about that snot ever again. Matter of fact, you're glad it's gone. It was bugging. That's what the Most High says that lukewarm people are to him. I'll spew you out my nostril like you are nothing, and I'll disregard you. So we want to be on fire for him and not on fire for the world. And if you're on fire for the world, do that with all your might. If you're on fire for the Most High, do that with all your might. Because that's what you're going to be graded on. By the Most High Elohim himself. When you come before the great white throne judgment, he says, and he opens up the book, and another set of books is opened up, and the Lamb's Book of Life. And they read all of your deeds out, good and bad. And then after that point, you better pray that your name is in the what? Is in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we want to get excited about the work of the Most High. And as I said, male and female. Because the bottom line is, we are all one body. And the Most High gifts men and women alike. Now, the authority and the structure, that is built in. But he gifts men and women alike with gifts, spiritual gifts. And we should not just be sitting on them or being told, oh, well, you're a woman, so you can't do X. Everything decent and in order and within context of the scripture. And I really believe, I really know that this is what we have to get on. And so after we finish the business meeting, we're going to start looking at some things as a body that we can agree to do. As a body, we have to buy into it. We have to commit to it. Brother Miles cannot do everything by himself. Neither can any one person do everything by themselves. And if somebody's looking to be all that, then they're looking, then they're really looking for what? Self-glory. They're looking for recognition. We are all servants of the Most High Elohim. And Elohim is not a respecter of persons. He puts people in different positions. They're to play their roles in those positions. One not being greater than the other. None of us becoming puffed up. But all having the same vision and understanding what role we're playing in achieving that vision. Let us go to, where do we want to go? Go to Proverbs chapter 18. The book of Proverbs chapter 18. Let's get verse 9. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 9. One who is slack in his work, his brother to him who is a master of destruction. So when we are slack, doesn't matter whether it's in the natural world, you know, or whether you're in the business of the kingdom. If you are slack at work, depending upon what type of job you're on, you might be able to get away with it. Other people might be able to cover for you, whether willingly or unwilling. They're just going to get the work done. But then if you own your own business and you slack, you don't make a whole lot of money. You don't get a whole lot of business because you're slack in what you're doing. And if you are slack in performing those duties, then it shows up. And one of the things I learned from business and knew going into business is this. Negative publicity travels way faster than anything positive. I don't care how many times you do right. Don't care how many times you do an excellent job. Do one bad one and see how fast that gets told. That's the nature of, that's human nature. To want to spread the negative and not the positive. So you, by the Most High telling us, don't be slack in what we do. If we're coming into this ministry, into the work, into the field, into the vineyard of the Most High, then we don't want to be slack at what we're doing either. Because negative, even in the kingdom, will travel fast. Do you think that I don't know that a lot of the messages that I teach, a lot of people will run from them, because if it's putting a mirror to their face or it's calling them to attention, if it's perceived to be negative, most people, all they want to hear is positive. But the bottom line is, the truth has to be told. And that's what I'm, you know, what the Most High has said for me to do, tell the truth. Don't scratch itching ears. So a lot of the things I know that are taught, people will run from them, but they can let them run. The truth of the matter is, we're going to do an excellent job, always. And this word, for somebody who is in sin, can't be making them happy. How are you going to be in sin, be in a church or a congregation, and you feel good where you're at, but you know you're in sin, and feeling good? How does that work? How, when you're not convicted, then you know something's wrong there. Something is wrong there. We live in sin, and we feel good about our lives, and we head straight for the lake. So there's something wrong there. So I don't really care concerning when it comes to the Word of God and the messages to convict people, to show us where we are at, because we cannot worship Elohim in a lie. He said, you have to worship me in spirit and in what? A lie or truth? So it has to be the truth. And if I'm going to get up here and tickle your ear so that you'll hang around, then this ain't the place for you. Because Brother Miles is not here to tickle any ear. We're here to do the work that is given to us, and we're here to do it to the best of our ability. We don't want the Most High saying that we were slack concerning his work, and neither do I want you to be slack concerning his work. He doesn't want you to be slack concerning his work. So let us put our hands to the plow. Put our back into it. Don't look back. But steadily looking toward the kingdom. Steadily looking toward the return of Messiah. Steadily looking toward our reward. Let's go to the book of Psalms. No, let's go to the book of Hebrews. We're going to do this from Hebrews chapter 6. The book of Hebrews chapter 6. And we're going to get verses 10 through 12. The book of Hebrews chapter 6. Verses 10 through 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. For Elohim is not unrighteous, so as to forget your work and the labor of love which you showed toward his name, in that you serve the saints and still do serve them. We desire that each one of you may show the same diligence in the fullness of hope, even to the end, that you won't be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Understand that this is a job that doesn't come with immediate satisfaction. And if you are a microwave saint, this may not work for you where you want immediate and fast satisfaction. This is a lifelong labor. And we must all run it to the end. And if Messiah decides to come back before we go to the grave, hallelujah. If he tarries and we go to sleep, then we know that we have run it with all our might. And we did not run to come in second place. That's another precept taught in the scriptures. You want to finish the race. You want to be in the race, number one. Number two, you want to finish it. But you are supposed to run it like you're trying to come in first. You're trying to beat me to the kingdom. I'm trying to beat you. Maybe we can come in together, arm in arm. And it's a tie. But that's what we're supposed to try to run this thing with all our might. Elohim will not forget our work. Everything that we do is being recorded. Heck, for all we know, we are the recording itself. We are the recorder. Most times regenerates our brain and says, oh, let me read your brain real quick. No, but I think it's written in our spirit. It's hard written in our spirit that he can just read. Oh, yeah, I see it. Matter of fact, let me play the play button. Let me rewind to this moment back here. In your life, let's go over this. He won't forget our words. And so we have to be faithful to this, to the end. We don't want to come in and say, you know, those old nappy-headed people, they won't do right to save their lives. Not up to us. It's up to the Most High. We have to do what we are given to do with all our heart, not from the spirit of apathy. Not, you know, yeah, I know I ought to be doing something, but this over here is more important right now. These things are taking the best of it. You know, the one regret I have is that I didn't start doing this as early as I should have been doing it. Because technically speaking, at the age, probably before age 21, but I know at age 21, I know what I heard the Most High tell me. And I know that I was rebellious. I ran into the street. I ran into the world. And I just thank the Most High that he didn't kill me, that he didn't allow me to die in that condition. But that is my regret every day. That I didn't start giving the Most High my all when he first called me at 21. Even that, you know, you can't make up for lost years. But if I would say that I have a regret, that would be it. Knowing if I knew then what I know now, there wouldn't have been a question. It wouldn't have been a doubt. It wouldn't have been a, oh, I want to go do those things first. But having been there and understanding, I understand when the scripture says, just like in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, when we read, you know, about the whole duty of man. It's really talking about you wasting your youth on your stuff and then trying to come to the Most High when you're old. And burnt out and feel like, oh, well, I better get in while I can. Do we think the Most High doesn't see that or know that? He does. And each one of us probably have to repent for that, have to recognize that we did that and repent to the Most High for it. I can speak for myself at this. I had to do it. But while we yet have breath in our bodies, and whatever strength you have, let it be that the majority of it, the overwhelming majority of it, going toward his work. You know, the sisters asked me one night and say, don't you ever get tired? Not of this. I get tired. I get tired of working for the man. I, you know, really would rather be doing this 24/7, and I can do it 24/7. But I never get tired of this. I never get tired of the word of the Most High. I never get tired of his people or dealing with his people. This is, I know what he has called me to do. And it's what motivates me. It's like when Messiah says, I have bread, I have meat to eat that you know not of. It's the motivation that I get from the word of the Most High. It gives me energy to do his will. That's the same motivation I want to convey to all of you. Let your motivation be to do his will, to do his work. Let that be what gets you up in the morning. Let that be what keeps you awake at night. Not what's going on in the world. Those things that are out of your control, just hand them over to the Most High and watch him do it. Watch him work it out on your behalf. Just be willing to, you know, be attentive to the Spirit of the Most High among you. But if we have this spirit of apathy, where we just ain't got an interest in his work, that probably ain't going to happen. Because everything else, whatever we do have an interest in, that's going to always come first. So let's not have that spirit and understand that the Most High sees what we're doing. He sees our hearts, and he is not unrighteous to forget our works, our labor of love. What time are we at? You're at 6:15. Let's do this. Okay, here we go. My glasses is watching. See what I'm trying to see. For the next 30 days, I want each of us to work on our prayer life. Get up. If you have to get up early, get up earlier to spend some time with the Most High Elohim in prayer. If you have to stay up later to do it, take 5 or 10 minutes out of your day. Like when you go in and take a break. I hope it ain't a cigarette break. But even if it is, put one out and take the break for the Most High. Spend some time with him. And just talk to him. He knows what's going on in your life, even if you ain't told him. If you got concerns, tell him about them. Give them to him. If you got health issues, take that time and take it to the Most High Elohim. For he cares for us. But you got to take the time with him and be genuine. He won't forget. So the next 30 days, yeah, make your prayer life important, the most important thing in your life. Don't let somebody sway you from doing it. Don't let life sway you. Take some time and make yourself that altar. Let's listen to this song, and we'll come back and we'll get into this again. We'll continue in this. But when I first heard this song, and, you know, I had never, ever, you know, people have a way with words, and you never know how somebody in their words might present something. But equating ourselves to certain things. So I pray that you can hear the message.
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. A house of prayer.
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. A house of prayer, Lord.
May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
I want to seek your face, seek your face, oh
Lord. Make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out, fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out,
make me a house of prayer.
I want to seek your face, seek your face, oh Lord.
Make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
May the fire of my altar never burn out, the fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out, make me a house of prayer. Fire for my altar never burn out. The fire for my altar never burn out. May the fire for my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. We pray, Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. I wanna seek your face, seek your face, oh Lord. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. May the fire on my altar.
May the fire on your altar never burn out. Make your prayers hot and fervent. The fervent prayers of a righteous man and a righteous woman availeth much. If your prayer life has been lacking, let us pray for you and stoke that fire up under you. Where you're seeking after the Most High Elohim, spending time with Him. Let us go to the book of Ezekiel, because the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, I believe, The book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. Now, I know a lot of people really think that the Most High destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of their desire for strange flesh. That was not the main reason. And so we got to understand that if he'll destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for this, what will he do to us? The book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. Let's find out really why Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed so that we don't have apathy for what the Most High wants. Let us go to Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 49. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 49. And I'll give you a chance to get there. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. And I'm going to read this from two different readings, two different translations. From the KJV, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of grace, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the need. That is why Sodom was destroyed." Let me read this from a different translation. This is the Webb translation. "Behold, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and prosperous ease was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and need. What's important to the Most High? It has always been the poor and the needy, the widows and the homeless, those that are, that society sort of forgets about and takes advantage of, doesn't consider their plight. Says that Sodom was prosperous and they had an abundance, more than what they need, but they would not help the needy. This is number one with the Most High, Elohim, that his people, that we don't get blessed and have an abundance and then don't take care of the poor and the needy, the widows and the fathers, that we don't speak to their needs. This very grievous with him. And so in some kind of way, we will come up with some kind of mechanism to identify this group of people. Doesn't matter what state they're in, doesn't matter what city they're in. If we identify them, then we want to start putting programs into place to begin to feed to some of their needs and to bring other people in to do likewise. We don't want to go before the Most High, and his main tenet, his main project plan, take care of the father, the widows, and the homeless, and that we are not doing that. I would like for us to do it as an organization, as a organized body. And so maybe we just get a list of names wherever we're at. Don't be doing to try to get self-glory. It's not what it's about. It is about doing what pleases the Most High Elohim. So in your prayers, include this. Yeah, how can we help the people that are important to you? He didn't say his saints. He said the father, the widow, and the homeless, the orphan, the poor. Didn't say what color, but as a body, we want to go about doing this. And there's a mechanism for doing it. We just have to identify the body and then put ourselves to it. We need to let people know that God still cares, that his mission is still in the world. You know, the Salvation Army and a lot of these other organizations, they are doing that work. And there's no way that we cannot be doing it. Can't say that we're the people of the book. And somebody has read the book and said, oh, this is what we're supposed to be doing. And we're reading the book and we don't do it. It's supposed to be our book, taken from our ancestors. So I want everybody to pray on it. Because we really do want to be doing and meeting to the and tending to the needs of the people that the Most High Father cares about. This is what's important to him. This is what got Sodom nuked. Gomorrah nuked. Yeah, when the angels came there, yeah, they found some of the stuff, but before the angels even came there, they were going there for this reason. It had come up before the Most High that they had an abundance, they had been blessed. And they would not take care of the poor and needy. So we will come up with something as a body that we will do. And I pray that you all commit to it. And we will keep track of it. Not to blow ourselves up, but for accountability purposes, so that we can know that we're doing some good. And you bring something to our attention, then we'll look at it and prioritize it. Maybe we can't do that one this month, but maybe we can do it next month. We just want to be non-apathetic. Don't want to just be going through the motions. But we want to be doing a real work. And yeah, we want to tell people about it. Not to brag, but so that they know, so they can tell poor people about it too. Maybe they'll just start, you know, got to be careful with this, but they will start coming to us for it. So pray on these things. Each morning when you get up, put it before the Most High. Most High, how can I help? How can we help? Who can we help? Let's go to we got a couple of minutes and I'll give you the full time. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. First Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 21. Prove all things. hold fast to that which is good. Hold on to it tight. Abstain from all, does it say all evil? Abstain from the appearance of all evil. Abstain from the appearance of it. Don't let your actions, don't let them be able to be perceived to be evil. And don't you define what evil is. Because, you know, we'll define ourselves right out of our own evil. Oh, I'm doing it. That can't be evil. Let the word of God define what evil is for you. Abstain from the appearance of it. Don't even let it look like it. Don't even let it sound like it. That's why I tell those brethren, they shouldn't be out there cursing, you know, cussing and stuff because of the appearance of it. But they're not worried about the word of Yah and how it makes Yah look. That's why he says, we cause the people to profane his name. When his saints try to look like the world and act like the world, then we cause them to think that they can act like we do because we act like they do. So not only abstain from all evil, but abstain from the appearance of it. I pray we can hear this. You know, we run around doing things because we like to do it. You know, some people actually like to cut. Maybe it does something for them. But it's not the language that the people of the Most High should be practicing and presenting to people. Abstain from the appearance of it. Not just, not evil, just doing evil, but the appearance of it. Don't let somebody look at you and say, I wonder if they're up to something. Don't put yourself in compromising situations. Unless the Most High tells you and you know he actually told you to go do something that can look compromising, unless you really know he told you to do it, don't put yourself in that position. You will know. You will know if it's the Most High telling you. Other than that, don't put yourself in that position. Don't let yourself even appear. Make it, don't even let it look like you're doing something evil or wicked. We want Elohim to be with us. So let's abstain from all these things, the appearance of evil. You may not even be about that, but what you're doing could be mistaken for. You might say, oh, well, that's their problem. No, not really. It's yours, too. Especially if you say you belong to the Most High Elohim. Then you are responsible for his image as well. You might not care about how people think about you, but care about how they think about the Most High. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you, even right now. Father, we don't want to have a lack of interest about anything concerning your kingdom. We want to be on fire for you. We don't want to be cold. We don't want to be lukewarm, but we want to be on fire. We want to be excited about what it is that you want done, and we want to be excited about doing it. We want to do it with a fervor, Father. We want to do it with everything that is within us, that it might bring you glory and not us. that people might be drawn to you through us. Father, if there's anything that has us focused somewhere else, let that be replaced. We're doing the work of your kingdom. Father, no man is an island. None of us can do it alone. This world is taxing and it's draining. And it will suck the life right out of your people. And sometimes we need to be replenished as well. So, Father, for all those who the world has sucked them dry, they are running on empty. They're running on fumes. Father, fill them and renew in them your spirit. Give them their hope and their happiness and their joy to do your work. Let that be what motivates them. Let that be that meat that no one else knows about. Fill their tank. Top them off that they might pour into others. Help them to be a blessing. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. On Thursday, before we even do that, let us give the Most High. Let's give him a praise. Open your mouth. Worship him. Hold up your hand. Show them how much you need. Clap your hands. Stomp your feet. Just praise the Most High right now. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Fill us with your spirit, Father. Come down on us. Renew in us a right mind. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you, Father. Hallelujah. We worship you in all our heart, with all our spirit, with all our might. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. We give you honor. We give you ourselves. We lift up a praise to you, Yah, from our heart. From our hearts, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We glorify you. Thank you, Father. We worship you, we worship you, we worship you. You are the great I am. The first and the last, the beginning and the end. He which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. There is none like you, Father, and we just pour ourselves out to you. We are your children. Hey, we are your children, Father. You know what we have need of. And we believe that you're going to meet our need. Hallelujah, Father. We glorify you and thank you for it ahead of time. You are the great I am. You are our Elohim. We bow down before. And we worship you. We pour ourselves out. Fill us, even right now. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your spirit. Glory, 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 glory. 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 Thank you, Father. On Thursday, we have the business meeting. I pray everybody will attend, those that can. you know, we can get through this and be really on our own way. Everything in writing. Everything agreed to. See, we want to be in that covenant relationship with the Most High. We want to be doing it so that man can't come back and say that we have a different agenda that is official to the world. This is the agenda of God's global kingdom, to do the will of the Father, to preach this gospel throughout all the world. To help the saints. So come and join us. We got, you know, we only got a little ways to go. We probably finish this, I'm gonna say by the end of the summer. That is the goal. But it's important that we do everything decent and in order. So that'll be on Thursday night. And of course we got Sabbath on Friday. And again, the Sabbath will be about the Most High Elohim. Something not about our Father, but we will honor him in it. Whether it's something about him or something he wants us to do, he wants us to hear, but it'll be about him. Sunday, we will deal with our problems. Through the week, we'll deal with our problems. Most High has to come first, especially on his day. We got six other days out of the week, and we're not using all six, so the days that we are using that are not his day, we want to work on us as a people, individually and as a people. We have issues. They need to be dealt with. We need to be helping one another. We need to be loving one another. Most High said, how can you say you love me of whom you cannot see, and you don't love your brother and your sister whom you can see? He said, I ain't falling for that. I made you a visual being. You can't see me. You'll tell me you love me, but you got your brother and your sister right there, and you can't love them. So let us be about our Father's business. Let us do it with a fervor. Let us get passionate about it. Let us be on one accord. The Most High Kingdom is not just in the United States. It's not just in Israel. It's not just in Africa. It's not just in Europe. It's not just in Canada. It is all over this planet. And we need to start converting people to come into that kingdom. We need to start bringing them into truth. And they might commit to the Most High Elohim. That being said, may Yah bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you, but Yah loves you more. Shalom.
Everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen.
So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwells in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient, hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwells in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a